All right, we're going to be in Matthew 7. He snuck over there. Yeah. Matthew 7, 21 to 29 says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd was astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for, this opportunity it's been to study the Sermon on the Mount and be convicted and challenged in our hearts. To examine ourselves, God, and to look at whether we're just pleasing men or seeking to please you. And so, God, we pray that your word would go forth and challenge us again this morning. God, that this week we would walk in your ways, do the things we hear you saying instead of the things we want to do. Be with us now as we look at your word. May your spirit guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's no real secret that I'm a sports guy. I like watching sports. My kids like to watch sports with me. I like that they like to watch sports with me. This is fun. We like these things. In sports, there's a normal thing that happens, a lot of excitement. Near the end of a season, typically, there's a lot of excitement that builds around teams that are doing well. And all of a sudden, at the end of a season, you end up having these people come along that are fans now of the team that is winning, right? And at the end of the day, we call these fair weather fans or bandwagon fans, right? I became a fair weather fan in baseball season, okay, at the World Series. I was cheering for the Blue Jays, and then I was cheering for the Dodgers, and then I was cheering for the Blue Jays again. It felt like it was going back and forth. I wasn't really sure who to cheer for, but it was so great to see the Dodgers win the way they did. The whole series was great. But there's fans, right? People that are just like following it because the crowd is following. I've been warned about that recently. Where was that told us about following the crowd? Anyway, so there are these fair weather fans, and then there are loyal, true followers of a team, deeply rooted in cheering for their team, even when their team is going 1-11 this year. That's our football team this year, 1-11. We sadly, foregoingly, torturously watched the season together as a family. I'm a fan of Oklahoma State. You guys know that. But more than a fan, I'm an alum. I grew up in that town. It was fun to see the football team have such great success for many years. But I'll cheer for them whether good or bad. And this is true. If you're a fan of some team, okay, you've been through some bad seasons, right? Anybody? Any Packers fans been through bad seasons? No? Never? Oh, always good. Lions fans, any bad seasons? No? No bad seasons for Lions either. Huh? No one's had any bad seasons that they've ever been through. The Cubs? Yeah, Cubs have had some bad decades, okay? We had some bad decades. That's right. Right? There's so many, right, that people have been through. And the thing is, there are these fans who are really not just fans. They are followers. It's a life. They go to these games, right? I've never had season tickets to any thing in my life. I think I maybe had student season tickets when I was a student at Oklahoma State. That's about the most I was willing to do, okay? But isn't it crazy that, like, this Saturday, there were, like, 50 stadiums full of 20 to 100,000 people who bought tickets, like, every game, and they go to every game, like, physically show up and there, and whatever the elements are. It's wild, right? It's a true following. So there's fans and there's followers in life, and the same is true with Jesus, right? There's a lot of people that like to attach themselves, and we like to attach ourselves to Jesus when things are going well for us. We're fans. When things go bad, it's a challenge for us. And I don't know about you, but studying the Sermon on the Mount has been a deep dive into what it looks like to follow Jesus and not just be a fan of Jesus. I think it's really detailed for us some of what we've said in this statement about following Jesus, that we're called to repentance and belief for the restoration of relationship with our Father in heaven. And the Sermon on the Mount has really challenged us what it means to be in this kingdom that God has given to us through the blood of Christ, right? We repent and believe, and God has given us by the blood of Christ entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And not just in the future, he's given it to us today, and that's what Jesus is describing to us in the Sermon on the Mount, is what does it look like to walk in the kingdom of heaven? So the sermon has showed us what it's like to be in the kingdom of heaven, but here at the conclusion of it, Jesus really drives home what is at stake in being in the kingdom of heaven or being out of the kingdom of heaven. In the passage that we read today, it describes a day, saying, on that day. In the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, again, I challenge you to go read the whole thing, Matthew 5 to 7. On that day, Jesus is talking about Judgment Day. He's talking about there's going to be an end to this, where it's going to all be stacked up, and you're going to have to look at your life again. On this day, this Judgment Day, after we die, or when Jesus returns, we're going to stand before the throne of God. And we're going to have to give an account for our lives as to why we think we should enter heaven for eternity and not be separated from the presence of God forever. We deserve never to see God's presence because of the darkness of our hearts. And according to Scripture, we deserve death for our sin, but God so loved us, he sent Jesus to die in our place, to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. And on that day, God will be looking to our hearts as to whether we trusted Jesus with our lives or whether we trusted in what we thought we needed to trust in ourselves. The Sermon on the Mount is so helpful to us in discerning, really, where our hearts are at on a number of issues. It shows us the fine line between being in the kingdom of heaven and being out of the kingdom of heaven. Again, I challenge you, read through the whole thing again in one sitting, and your heart will be challenged in one way or another. Last week we saw that the way into the kingdom is through a narrow gate. You must be looking for it. You must be seeking it. You will not passively enter the kingdom of heaven. The only thing that's going to passively happen to you is for you to comfort yourself. That's what's going to happen. And the following of crowd and the comfort of self, this is what happens when we passively go through life. The kingdom of God is going to be found by seeking it and going after it and looking for it. It is a narrow road to a narrow gate. The picture is you got to look for this thing. It's not just going to be obvious. The way away from the kingdom is a wide road to a wide gate that many people are going to. And Jesus says, this is a narrow road and a narrow gate. He simplifies it for us today in giving us what it looks like to build a kingdom foundation. There's a foundation to living a life that is in the kingdom, and it is hard, okay, like many foundations are, it is hard, but it is sure. The passage today, I think, will challenge us what a sure foundation looks like in the kingdom of heaven. And it is not about knowing and doing, but rather about hearing and obeying. Verse 21 says this, knowing Jesus' name isn't enough. Verse 21 again, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I've been troubleshooting an issue in our Clover reward system at the coffee shop. Okay, we've got this reward system that allows people to earn stamps as they buy drinks. Okay, and every time they buy a drink, they get a star, and once they get 7 stars, they get a free drink, which is great, right? It's a wonderful program. Problem is it broke, okay? And the program broke somehow. I don't know how it broke, but it broke sometime May or June or whatever. And so at the time, I had the manager at the time who had already done some troubleshooting call Clover over and over again and get on support line, right? And man, we've been fighting this for 6 months, okay? And I can't tell you the number of times I've had to call the support line to get transferred to another support line, to get transferred to the advanced support line, to get transferred to, it's wild, okay? And every time I get, you know, some movement forward, at the end of the call, they say, okay, we're gonna do some things, okay? We're about to do some things, and in 24 to 48 business hours, which is like another way of saying 7 to 10 days, because there's only 8 business hours in a day, so and we had to get past that thing, okay? At the end of her call, after these times, you know, you call back or whatever, we'll reach out. They never call back in that time frame, so I always have to call. So I call again, every single time I call. What is the name of the business? What is the callback number? Can I verify your identity? Can I send you an email? Can I send you a 2-step verification, okay? I had to know the name. I had to know all this information to get through this over and over and over again. You guys all have experienced this. If you've tried to log into anything, right, you're gonna get a 2-step verification, text to your phone, will you accept the SMS text charges that might apply? Okay, right, and you do the thing, and it's, oh my gosh, right? We know what it is to need to know a name and have a name. It gets us somewhere, right? You'd like make reservations for a restaurant and say, it's under the name of Blake, right? I've got a reservation under the name of Blake, right? Well, Jesus is saying a name is not enough. He says, as it regards the kingdom, knowing my name is not enough. Coming and saying to me, Lord, Lord, Jesus, isn't enough at the kingdom of heaven. Knowing the Lord's name is not enough to enter the kingdom. Jesus says, the one who does the will of my Father is the one who enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not just about knowing his name, it's about doing. And lest our hearts that love to do be challenged or start to check boxes, okay, it's things we've got to do, great. We're all doers. We have a list of things to do. We like to check off the things we do. We say, hey, sure, look, we did it. See the things we did? We did all these things. It's not just about doing some great thing. Jesus goes on to caution us in another direction, saying the kingdom of God, entering the kingdom of God is not just about doing great things. Doing the will of the Father and doing great things may not necessarily be the same thing in regards to the kingdom. Verse 22 says, doing great works in Jesus' name is not enough. Jesus says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Doing these great things is not enough to enter the kingdom, according to Jesus. He lists 3 things that are very powerful, and maybe you've experienced some of these things, maybe you haven't. But a few things just real quickly. First, he says, if you prophesy in my name, if you've experienced prophecy, you are a prophet, you have prophesied, any of these things, if this has happened and you've seen it in my name, that's not enough. And that's a powerful experience, okay? Prophecy is a really cool thing. We've got prophets in the Old Testament that speak of the kingdom of God and speak of Jesus coming and speak of many things the Lord is doing in his time. And even today, I believe there are prophets among the church who God has ordained to not just about predicting the future, but really about preparing us for what is to come. Prophecy could be a warning from heaven about what is to come, or an encouragement from heaven about what is to come. It can be personal in nature, or it can be corporate in nature. This is what prophecy in Jesus' name can look like. And so Jesus says, it doesn't matter if you have prophesied in my name, if you've seen these things, that is not enough. That experience is not enough for the kingdom of heaven. It's powerful, and it is true, and it is good, but that experience, that great work, is not enough for the kingdom of heaven. And even further, he says, if you've cast out demons in my name, right? I mean, if you're someone that has cast out demons in the name of Jesus, you would think that your heart is trusting Jesus. And Jesus says, don't trust the fact that you have cast out demons in my name. That's not enough for the kingdom of heaven. Like, it's very clear for us to, very easy for us to look back at the past and go, well, look at all these great things that I did. I cast out demons in the name of Jesus. This is what I did. And Jesus says, that alone's not enough. He goes on to say even further, doing many mighty works is not enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. Being a part of miraculous healings and powerful revivals, these things aren't enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. You may have been close to these things. You may have done some of these things, these great things, these powerful things. You may have had experience with all these things, but Jesus says, that's not enough. And it's just true. How often is our hope for heaven caught up in the result or work that we do? Or even the hope of a result that we want, rather than the relationship that God has given us? Jesus says it this way, if you are trusting in the prophecies you spoke in my name, casting out demons in my name, doing work, many mighty works in my name, if that's what you're trusting for entrance into the kingdom of heaven, this is what he'll say to you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. If we have made an idol of doing things for Jesus instead of hearing and obeying Jesus, those things are actually two different things. Doing things for Jesus and obeying Jesus are two different things. That's hard for my heart to hear, okay? That's not an easy one to parse out in my emotions and my thoughts, okay? But Jesus is saying to us, be careful that you aren't just doing great works to impress your Father in heaven, but rather that you are hearing the Father in heaven and obeying what he would say to you. This is the test. Jesus says, if our hope is in doing great works, I will say I never knew you. We can't enter the kingdom of heaven by our great works. We enter the kingdom of heaven by hearing and doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. He gives us a foundation test, okay? He gives us a very clear foundation test here in Matthew 24 and following. He says, starts out saying, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who has built his house on a rock. If you're going to build a foundation, you're going to need two things. You're going to need dry ingredient, which is a mixture, concrete mixture. You're going to need water. Concrete mixture and water. And all you have to do is mix those things up, put them together, and set them in place, and you'll start to build a foundation. Anyone ever mixed concrete mixers? Yeah? How? How did you do it? What did you use?
Shovel.
The best way, right? The best, most experiential way. This is the best way to learn how difficult making a foundation is. Now you've got trucks that run around and like mix the thing for you and pour it in. Like all these things are man, but if you haven't had the experience of hand shoveling concrete together and mixing it together, man, wow, that is gonna build some muscle on you. That's gonna really give you something to remember. I know for me, that's fixated in my head. Making concrete in Honduras for a basketball court with a mission trip. I will never forget the piles of dry, ready to mix into this volcano of water and slowly mix. I'm like, man, is there not a thing here that would help us? No, there's not. You can't get a truck down there to pour this concrete for you. But that's all it takes, two things, the concrete mix and some water. And the same is true here. Entering the kingdom of heaven is built on two things: hearing the words of Jesus and obeying the words of Jesus. Hearing Jesus and obeying him. That's it. You need these two things constantly. As a follower of Christ, you're going to need these two things constantly. In everything he tells you to do and everything he puts in your hand, you're going to need to be able to listen to Jesus and do what he says. If you just listen, it's not enough. If you just do, it's not enough. You have to listen and hear the words of Jesus, and you have to do the words of Jesus. This is what's going to build a foundation of the kingdom in your life. Hear his words Do his words. And man, if you messed up yesterday, do it today. Okay, and you mess up today, do it tomorrow. Okay? Wherever you're at, stop and listen for the words of Jesus and then do them. Don't worry about how much you've messed up in the past. Don't worry about how much time you think you have left, okay, in this life. Do not worry about the future. Worry about today. Listen to the words of Christ and do the words of Christ. Jesus says, "This is the foundation we must build. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like this, a wise man who built his house on the rock." And what happened? You guys know the story. It's very familiar in heads probably already. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. In contrast, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We're very familiar with this picture being in Hurricane Alley, okay? This is where hurricanes normally come. I'm from Tornado Alley. That's where tornadoes walk things off the foundation, okay? I don't know if it matters if it's on rock or not there. It's just going to get wiped away. But, you know, the truth is we're grateful this season, this hurricane season, because our houses were not tested. Amen. Okay, there was no hurricane that came and tested our foundations this year. But last year, they did. Many foundation was tested and challenged. And man, this isn't like a construction lesson, okay, or anything, but this is just the reality, right? Our foundation is not tested by a sunny day. It's not tested in a time of blessing. It's tested by a hurricane. It's tested when winds blow and beat against the house and floods come and rain falls. This is when our house is tested. This is when our foundation is tested. Foundation's not tested on a sunny day, but it's tested by a hurricane. In the same way, it is easy to seem loyal to Christ and to his name when we're in times of blessing, even when we're in times that we're just enjoying. It may not even be blessed, it may just be something we like. It's easy to be loyal to Christ when we feel encouraged and circumstances are good. It is a much different thing to be loyal to Christ when we feel discouraged and when circumstances are bad. But our loyalty to Christ is most obvious in response to the hurricane, to suffering, to conflict, to difficulty. This is when we know where our heart is clinging to. Because in response to these things, we instinctually jump to something to give us comfort, to give us hope, to give us a sense of peace. And the question is, where does your heart jump? Does it jump to Christ, or does it jump to some other thing? Some other goal, some other thing that you want to do. Is that where our heart jumps? Is it jump to a name you want to lift up for yourself? Our loyalty to Christ is most obvious in response to suffering and conflict and difficulty. So as we wrap up, a few things to just challenge us with. First is, are we trusting and just knowing the right name? Knowing about Jesus, knowing his name, knowing what he's done, knowing what he's taught. Knowledge about Jesus is not enough. Knowing his name is not enough, according to Jesus. Our knowledge about Jesus doesn't get us into heaven. Are we trusting in just knowing his name? Or on the other side, are we trusting in our great works? Jesus gave a similar warning, gives us a similar warning later in Matthew 11. He says in Matthew 11, 23 to 24, "And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained till this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Great works and seeing great works, doing great works, doesn't allow you into the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way in the kingdom of heaven: by hearing and obeying Jesus. Everyone who then hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The foundation of the kingdom of God comes from hearing Jesus and obeying Jesus. And so the question to us is, how are you hearing Jesus? Like, are you just hearing him because you're in America and there's Christians around that speak about Jesus? Or are you hearing him because you're marking off the Bible reading plan in your little, you know, your little Bible there, right? Like, how are you hearing him? There are many great things that we can do to hear Jesus, and we have to be careful that we're not just going through the motions of coming to church, reading our Bible, doing the things, just to do the things, and not really stopping ever in that process to go, Jesus, what are you speaking to me? What are you telling me? What is your word telling me? Not what does your word say, but what do you want to tell me about yourself as I'm reading your word? Many times, I've said this many times, talking to guys about reading the Bible and getting into a good rhythm of reading the Bible. It's not necessarily about the words you're reading from the Bible, okay? It is about the person you are interacting with. Many a time has God spoken to me something from himself that I didn't just read. I'm reading with him, and why am I there? To get knowledge? No, I'm there to get him. Okay, and he wants to speak to me regardless of what's on the page. And so I challenge you, like, what's your goal in reading scripture? Is your goal just to have facts and information? Or is your goal to know the creator of all heaven who has revealed himself to you in his word? And yes, he will speak specifically from his word. It is his specific revelation. But he also wants to speak that word to your heart. He wants to speak to you. He made you. He created you. He isn't just a philosophy that we've come up with. He is trying to talk to you. And so, have we heard him? Are we hearing him? Are we listening to Jesus, or are we just getting information about him? Have we heard Jesus? I've been a Christian my whole life, and this is still a challenge today, to discern, am I just performing for God, or am I hearing him, right? It's an important challenge for us all to take on every day, man. Why am I in the Word today? Am I here to impress people with it, or am I here to actually hear from the Creator of heaven, hear what he has to say to me? How are you hearing from Jesus? I guarantee you it will include, okay? It will include going to church and studying the Bible with believers and studying the Bible on your own and praying to the Lord. It will include those things. Okay, I guarantee it. It will include those things. But not on account of those things themselves. Rather on account of the one who revealed those things to us. And so are we listening? Are we hearing Jesus? And second, if we've heard him, are we obeying him? Have we heard what he said, and are we obeying what he said? I don't know about you, but I can think of people in my life, okay, that come to my mind when I think about my testimony and how God showed up to me and revealed himself to me and shared himself with me. I can think of people that, like, their names are in my head right now, of people that were there when I came to know Jesus. They were there in these times when I came to follow him. How did they get there, right? they also heard Jesus, and they obeyed him. They did what he said they needed to do. And as a result, they were in my life, and they were willing to testify of Jesus in my life. And I responded to that. Praise God. But this is what the kingdom of God looks like. It looks like us hearing Jesus and obeying him, that others might hear Jesus and obey him. Have we obeyed Jesus? God has you here for a purpose. He has us living for a reason. He's got you in the place that you live with great intention. I don't have this verse up here, but from Acts 17, man, God has determined the place and time of your dwelling that those around you might call upon the Lord and know him. That's what the Lord says. And so your time on earth and your location of living is something God has ordained that his name might go forth. And so the question is, are we hearing as Christians what he is saying to us and obeying that others might come to know this God we love and serve? Because of the blood of Christ, we have the greatest gift that anyone can have. We can walk in the kingdom of heaven today. We are not waiting to die, okay? We're not waiting to die and see if we make it in at the pearly gates, okay? We get to receive heaven today because of the blood of Christ. Because we've repented from our sin and trusted in Christ as the payment for our sin, we now can enter the kingdom of heaven. We can have a relationship with our Father in heaven. We can talk to him anytime we want, and he will listen. He will hear us. He will hear our cries. And so I want to close with that blessed gift that we have from our Father in heaven. Hear from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus teaches us how to pray. He's not just teaching us a prayer to recite from memory as some religious action. He is teaching us what he has given us in the kingdom of God. What the Father desires for us to know and walk in, he is telling us, man, pray about these things. Think on these things. Submit your heart to these things. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. This is your inheritance, church. You serve a holy God who desires his holy kingdom will to break forward in your life. He wants you to know that he's giving you everything that you need for every day that you face. Not what you want, what you need. He's given you forgiveness in whatever measure you need. He will lead you out of temptation. He will deliver you from the evil one. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge of Scripture. It tests our hearts, God, and we need it to do so. Lord, we don't want to be found today or any day boasting in the great works that we've done, or trying to impress with the wonderful knowledge we have of you. though these things are good. On their own, they mean nothing. You would say, depart from me, I never knew you, if you're one who trusts in knowledge of the name or great works done in the name. But God, you are after the heart that is poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are after the one who guards its even thoughts from hate or lust. You are after the one who does not trust in great works or great knowledge. You are after those who will hear your words and obey them. And so God, I pray for us that we would be those in your kingdom that would not worry what others think, that would not worry about what we might earn or how we might look, would be singularly worried and concerned with hearing from you and obeying you. God, help us build the foundation of the kingdom, the foundation on hearing the words of Jesus and obeying those words. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Um,